We are kind of coming to the end of Sugya Zimra. We've been talking about Hallel, and Sugya Zimra is the Hallel of every day, of our ongoing existence, and the miracle that we wake up in the morning. And that the Prakim of Sugya Zimra, those five Hallelujahs, kind of go with the last five Sukkim of Ashrei. And right now, the end, the last pasuk of Ashrei is, or of Kufmim Hey, Tilat Hashem Yidaber Pi Vivrek Kabasar Shem Kodesho Lomba Ed. That I will speak Hashem's praises, and every living thing, all flesh, will bless His name. And we end with a parak that ironically doesn't praise Hashem at all. It talks about everyone sing, everyone how praise God. Doesn't say anything about what. All the other Prakim say what? You know, God's great, that does this, creates the universe, offers rain, offers food. This is just everyone stand up and sing. And that everyone knows the Perek, hallelujah, hallelujah, Kel B'Kod Show, praise God in his Kodesh, hallelujah, B'Kir Zo, praise him in his most powerful heavens, hallelujah, B'Gibruatov, praise God with his power, hallelujah, Karov Gudlo, praise him in accordance with his greatness. Hallelujah, take our shofar, praise him with the blast of the shofar. Hallelujah, ben mevel v'chinor, praise him with the, I don't know, lute and lyre, violin. I don't know what these musical instruments are. Hallelujah, ben tof machal, praise him with drums and with dancing. Hallelujah, ben minim of ugav, praise him with other things. And ugav, I think, is a flute. Hallelujah, til salei shama, praise him with resounding cymbals. I think I remember that being translated. Hallelujah, til salei shua, with clanging cymbals. May all souls, all breath, praise God. Hallelujah. Nice and short. And it starts with that parallel we saw in Tehillim Kuf Mem Chet, which contrasted the heavens and the earth. This is Halukel B'Kodesho, in God's holy place, something that is the Beit HaMikdash. And Halu B'Kiyuzo, that's the host of heavens singing. Schwab says that the Kodesho here doesn't refer just to Beit HaMikdash, but to the whole world, because the whole world is supposed to be Makom Kodesho. That's what we're looking for, because that's the goal of the existence of the world, that all the earth should be Kodesho. He cites the Yalkut Shimoni on that which quotes Yeshayah, that's talking about in the future. This is the Torah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, I think. Nidei Chodesh b'Chodesho, v'Shabbat b'Shabbato, that every Rosh Chodesh, every Shabbat, Yavo Kol Basar, all flesh will come, Mishtachvot Litznei, Lefanai Amar Hashem, will bow before me. V'ich Efshah, Yavo Kol Basar b'Yerushalayim. And what do you mean? We're looking for a day when everyone comes to Yerushalayim. There's no room. We never able to afford hotel rooms. V'chol Shabbat, V'chol Chodesh, every day, no, Amar Rav Levi, no, Atid Yerushalayim, Yavke Eretz Yisrael, V'Eretz Yisrael, K'chol Ha'olam Kulo. Goal is that the whole world should be Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And praise God in the entire world, and both of those, B'Kodesho and B'Kiyuzo, in this parak are wordless. Praise God.
Yeah, when was the Yalkut Shimoni alive and everything?
I'm pretty sure it was 12th century.
Wow.
It's a collection of Yalkut was a term used for a lot of these collections of Midrashim. They're presumably older than that. But it's an anthology of Midrashim from, you know, generally quoting the Tanna, right? Rabbi Levi would be a Tanna. So much earlier, but the actual Yalkut Shimoni is early medieval. Something about that, this particular Tehillah, there are no words here. We're just playing music, just like the heavens just praise Hashem without speaking. Right? Shemayim Mesaprim K'vod Kel, Masei Adav Yimei Rakia, that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. Ain Omer v'Ain Devarim. There's no speaking, there are no words. Bli Nishma Kolam, their voice is not heard. There are no words there. And Rabbi Nun, about this parak, points that out. In kan hitbunanut b'teva. There's no analysis here of what happens in nature and God's power in nature. Vlob Historia, not looking for God in history. There is no asking for forgiveness. No vidoy. I mean, this is different from all the rest of the Tehillim. Enkan nekamabubayim. There's no asking God for revenge against their enemies. Lo amidam mul rishayim. No looking at the evil in the world. Lo mavik negdam. Tzfialik yishurat Hashem. No struggling against rishayim and hoping for God's salvation. Lo hitmodedut im hatzlachutehem. No trying to understand the Russia of Etovo, like you see how to see. Why is things, good things happen to bad people? And saying, okay, that they will get their just desserts in the hands of God. Those are the things that already filled, they already overflowed all the previous prakim. This is Perek Kuf Nun. This is the last Perek Tehillim. This is different. And even the previous parts of Psukei Zimra, those concepts are there. It's come time to go beyond all this. El halal naki. This is pure halal. We're just going to sing. And we praise Hashem.
Yeah, can I bring up something? Yeah. Can we dedicate our learning today for asking Hashem's protection for all the people in Ukraine?
Amen. Do that. And I think Leo Nefesh, you have a yard site this week, don't you, Janet?
Yeah, my father's yard site is Thursday and Friday.
Leo Nefesh for your father as well.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're praising Hashem. It's Halub Bigvuratav and Halub Kurov Gudlo. So Halub Krov Gudlo makes sense in accordance with his greatness. But what do you mean by Bigavuratav? Praise God, Bit. Now the Bet there in Hebrew either means with or in, but either of that doesn't really work, right? Bikodesho in his holy place, Birkyuzo in the heavens. Okay, but what does it mean? Bigavura inside Hashem's Gvura. The rest of the parak, we have the bit take of shofar, the bet meaning with, right? Praise God with the shofar. But what do you mean praising God with his power? Now, trust it, with his mighty act. But that's not what we do. We're not mentioning anything about Gvurat Hashem. Again, it's all wordless. It's just praise Hashem with musical instruments. So I would translate it as big Gvurat Hashem meaning in. We are in the middle of Hashem's Gvura. That's what creation is. That's what the universe is. And this is the quote Rav Soloveitchik on this from Halachic Man, which is going to get pretty philosophical here. But Halachic Man basically contrasts what he calls scientific man, who looks at the universe in a really rational way, and he calls homo religiosus, which he's got to say in Latin, the religious man who doesn't try to understand, simply tries to be, and then develops that into what Halachic Man is, kind of between those. About when the religious man confronts God's world and gazes at the myriad events and phenomena occurring in the cosmos, does not desire to transform the secrets embedded in creation into simple equations. We are halu Hashem b'gvuratav, just standing there and looking. He is that which is obscure without the intent of explaining it, and inquires into that which is concealed without the intent of receiving the reward of clear understanding. He calls the numinous. There's just a feeling of holy. I'm just in awe. He stands before the cosmos, the entire flame with a holy fire of wonders, frightened me, terrified by the mystery. Leaves from it, at the same time, against his will, draws near to it. Enchanted, he finds himself irresistibly pulled toward it, pines for it, longs to emerge with it. That's kind of the religious expression of Halu B'Gvuratav, in the midst of Hashem's Gvura, we're going to praise Hashem. Not to understand, not to say what it is, but just be there and experience it. And that's part of the religious experience. Yeah, a lot of what we do is very intellectual and try to understand everything. We want to know the physics and all that. But there's a place for the simple looking at the stars and saying, wow. And our parak is how to do that. And that's what the musical instruments are there. We're not choosing words. And it starts with the shofar. We would take our shofar. And we talked before that about this. The shofar is that the sort of the embodiment of wordless prayer. But in Tehillim Pehei, it talks about Rosh Hashanah. Tiku b'chor shofar, blow the shofar on the Rosh Chodesh, the Kesel Yom Chagenu, and the day the moon is hidden on the holiday. And then it talks about Yosef, and adds this line about Sifat lo yadati eshma. This is from the Shir Shal Yom for Thursday, so it should be familiar for davening every day. Question is, what is Sifat lo yadati eshma? Usually translated as a language that I didn't know I could have come to understand, looking at Yosef from Egypt, which we're talking about. But I don't think that's what it is, because the first person, Eshma here, I think is referring to God. That Sifat means the language of. Then the saying, the Sifat lo yadati, the language of I don't know. Eshma, I will adhere. If you're going to come to me, Hashem, and say, I don't know. I don't know how to express myself. I will still listen. And that's what the shofar is. Rabbi Sacks about that. The wordless cry and religion of words. Pathos is a divine human encounter. That's what the Tekah shofar is. We don't know how to put it in words. I like this quote from Sarah Ridner, who's the head of the English department at Turo. In Rosh Hashanah, we're reminded that there are some things that remain outside the realm of human comprehension. Also, we nevertheless are required to try to comprehend them. Our task on earth is to translate the untranslatable cry of the shofar, even while we recognize how impossible that is. That's what the Tekah shofar is. And we all know the story about the Baal Shem Tov. The boy comes to shul on Yom Kippur, and he has no idea what to do, so he pulls out his whistle and starts blowing, and everyone yells at him, and Baal Shem Tov says, no, that tefillah is what got through to heaven. No one, Hashem wasn't listening to the rest of us. But that particular tefillah, that cry, whistle saved us, because he was sincere and came from the bottom of his heart, where he feels the love for Hashem. He doesn't know why or understand why. So that we tried in poetry is trying to put words to feelings that have no words. Use images there. But then we're not even good poets either. We have no words to say what we're trying to say at all. So we end up with simply, take our shofar, blow the shofar, and that's going to count. Nevel Kinar just slam the symbols together. And that's our experience of Halu B'Gruatav. And we end that with Kol Neshamat Halelya, that every living thing needs to praise God. And the other way of translating Kol Neshama is all of our neshama, all of ourselves should praise Hashem. And now we're going to, yes, Lewis puts it that way, that the praising Hashem is not for God.
Danny, I bought it. I read it. I read the whole thing. It's interesting.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, it's good.
I love it. Right.
Yeah.
You got to get past the Christmas stuff.
What? That's this book, the C.S. Lewis Reflections on
C.S. Lewis Reflection on the Sun. You can get it. Somebody has it online. It's not a long book. It's like 80 pages, something.
Yeah. You have to skip the Christian parts are just whatever. But
you get your mind past the Christian part, right? That's what Rob Lichtenstein said. Right. You get to past the parts where he says that, well, those poor Jews didn't understand it well enough until you know, our Lord and Savior came. But
there is a lot of real power in it. It's very, I actually enjoy reading it.
And so if you like C.S. Lewis, read the Screwtape Letters. Screwtape Letters is basically a letter from the devil to a apprentice demon about how to reduce human beings into evil. It is very powerful and it's very real. All the things we need to watch out for. Mm-hmm. But do not become an Anglican. Just because C.S. Lewis is great. So this is the way C.S. Lewis looks at, you know, what our tehillah is there for. Because it's that God needs it, right? We need that. Psalmists and telling everyone to praise God are doing what all men do when they speak about what they care about. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy. Because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It's appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it's expressed. You need to say how much something you like is. It is frustrating to discover a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly to turn a road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur and to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than for a tin can in the ditch. But you have to be able to share that. That's what Hallel is all about. You have to be able to share the tequila. This is wonderful. I got to tell you, to hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. That's truly tragic. Unlimited by words, the psalmist attempts to create a complete and seamless relationship with the, between the author and reader, both together prepare for the ultimate conclusions of the Book of Life. This is Rabbi Baumol talking about this last parak here. That's the Shir Chadash, the new song alluded to in the previous song. Final praise, which we learn to be sung by all creatures who possess breath. Everyone needs to praise Hashem. Not words, the frogs, croaks, they're still praising Hashem. We sing our hallelujahs. And that idea of kol Hashem mat hallelujah is usually the way you translate that as all creatures who possess breath, as Rabbi Baumol put it. But I'd rather put it as kol Hashem meaning all of one's breath. The word neshama doesn't appear anywhere else in Taylor. Which is interesting. I tried to make something about it meaning the neshama, meaning the soul, but that's not what it means in Tanakh. Using neshama as the sense of soul, that means that's mostly kavod in Taylor. What we talk about the soul, the sense of self, something beyond the physical body. It's kavod. That in Tanakh, neshama means breathing. So that kind of fits with that. The wordless theme of this parak here, that we praise Hashem simply by breathing. I don't have to say anything. This is the Bereshit Rabba expressing that idea. Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Chanina Amar. Same Rabbi Levi we quoted before. Akon neshimat neshimat shadam noshem. Every breath one you take. Insert police song in here now. Sarich lekales lebarei. You have to praise God. That is a praise of God. Ma tam, why you know that? It says, kol neshama talalya, kol neshima talalya. Every breath is a praise of God. And so that ends Sefer Tehillim. We're not going to write our own. We can say David's, but we need to continue to say Tehillim, say Hallel to Hashem for every breath that we take. But it's not done there. And there's this wonderful idea, again, from the Yalkut Shimoni. Amar Shlomo. This is Shlomo looking back at his father. Anilo asek Moshe asa Abba. I'm not going to do what my father David did. Abba patach chachmato barosh otiyot. My father's open magnus, Sefer Tehillim, started with the first letter, Aleph, Ashrei Ha'ish. V'siyem be'emsa. And it ends halfway through the alphabet. Kol Hashema zecha. Kol Hashema t'halaya, right? Starts with Aleph, ends in Kaf. About ani a second. I'm just saying different. Ani potech be'emsa otiyot. I'm going to start from there, from the next letter, from Mishlei. That's my work of wisdom. Mishlei Shlomo ben David starts with the mem. Mesayim b'sof otiyot, and I'm going to end with the last letter of Tnu la mipri chapeha, end of Eshet Chayil. That's from Mishlei there. So the idea that David takes his Tehillim halfway through the alphabet, leaving room for Shlomo and all the rest of us to continue on, to start finishing off all the rest of the verses there. That's what we're supposed to do, is continue on in Tehillim. And I reached the end of Pesukei Zemra. Now I have to look at the rest of, continue on, I want to look at Hallel HaGadol, but I still have to write that, so I'm not ready yet. But I do want to summarize, I am not Joy Rosenfeld. He was brilliant, and I never do Twitter, because I think Twitter is just random firing in neurons and it never makes any sense. But Joey's brilliance is that his random neurons are smarter than my intense thought. But he likes summarizing things in these 108 letters. So to summarize, all Parakim of Pesukei Zemra. So the Parakim there, Pesukei Zemra, is a Hallel song. Kuf Mem Vav starts in solitude. Ali Nafshi, me, et Hashem. And then I have to go, I'm going to pull out a sitter here. These words right, excuse me. All right, so the next one is Hallel with a community. It's Hallelujah in the plural. Right. That's the wrong one, sorry. It's Na'im Zamra Lokena, praise our God together. Kuf Mem Chet. The next one is Praise Hashem Hallel with all the universe. It's the Halu at Hashem Min Hashamayim B'Momim Hodoa Eretz Hashamayim. The next is Hallel, the song and dance. It's Yalu Shemob Machal B'Tof Duchinor. And the last one is Praise Hashem without words. Similarly, what we're praising Hashem for in this reading Pesukei Zimra, it starts, Mem Vav is, we're praising, it's a hallel of the miracle of physical sustenance. We exist, we have food. Mem Zayin is the emotional stability. Oded Anavim supports the poor. Heals the brokenhearted. Next one is the miracle of being part of creation. Shamayim va'aretz. With Mem Tet, we talk about the spiritual integration of mind and of a body and soul together. And then Kuf Nun is simply the hollow, the miracle of hollow itself. The fact that we can praise Hashem is enough to praise Hashem for. So that ends Pesukei Zimra. That's kind of the verse of pruning away. We're getting rid of all the extraneous thoughts, and now we can start to feel it. And that is where I will end. That was short. But it's a short part. And it's a part about having nothing to say, so I guess ending early would be appropriate.
Can I just say my favorite part from the C.S. Lewis book? So he's troubled by the image of bashing the Babylonian baby's heads against the rocks, which is, sort of a troubling image, but he resolves it. And I just like the way he does that. He basically says, from this point of view, I can use the horrible passage in 137 about dashing the Babylonian babies against the stones. I know things in the inner, he's talking about like problematic urges that you have.
Right.
And it says, I know things in the inner world, which are like babies, the infantile beginnings of small indulgences, small resentments, which may one day become dipsomania or settled hatred, but which woo us and wheedle us with special pleadings and seem so tiny, so helpless that in resisting them, we feel we are being cruel to animals. They begin whimpering to us, I don't ask much, but, or I at least had hoped, or you owe yourself some consideration against all such pretty infants. The dears have such winning ways. The advice of the Zom is the best. Knock the little bastard's brains out. And bless you, Ken, for it's easier said than done. And I really like that image. So.
Okay, taking that whole part metaphorically.
Right.
So you weren't
right
there when we did that. I did not take it metaphorically.
Okay.
I have this as the war against, really inspiring against the war against Edom there. But I think, that's the beauty of Tehillim, that you can read it on both levels. Right. And that's what you want to take out of it, is not that you bash babies. But I don't like the, there are some metaphoric babies that need to be bashed.
Right.
And C.S. Lewis has it more poetically than I would. Yes.
Danny.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about that whole thing with Shlomo saying he's going to start at Mem and go through the end, and that David only went till the middle to leave room for others to add their praise.
Right.
Do you think that was intentional or just ran out of time? Because the reason I say that is my friend Carmi's grandfather, Menachem Kasher, was working on something called Torah Shlema, where he was being every pasuk about every verse in the Torah.
Yeah, that's an incredible.
He just and he got a certain distance, but he didn't finish. But it wasn't, I don't think it was intentional that he didn't finish.
I think he passed away.
Yeah.
Like we finished it. I mean, he got to like the middle of Devarim, Sefer Devarim. There are a lot. And then there was an institute that was trying to finish, but never got, I don't think it ever got done.
No. He had a son-in-law who continued, and then a grandson. But the thing about Rav Kasher that made it so amazing is not only did he have to do the scholarship, but then he had to go raise money to print the books. So we always had to fundraise to keep it going. I'm sure that took a lot of time. You know what I mean? And
I think the funding is there. And, it's kind of, it's the same project that Safari is doing of collect everything.
Oh, you think they're still working on it?
on the Torah Shlema, I don't know. But the different thing about Torah Shlema is that he actually has comment. He doesn't just have, it's not just a collection of, he has all the Midrashim about every pasuk, but he's got commentary on it. He actually thought about what it meant. It wasn't just a collection.
I mean, now,
so that's the big thing that nobody else can do.
He knew so much. And then, so somebody coming to replace him that doesn't have that knowledge, it's going to take even more, you know.
So, to answer your question, I don't know if the Aleph Tachaf of Tehillim was intentional by David or however, you know, I don't know if David organized the order of it. I have no idea.
That's
David wrote all the things, put it together. I don't know what, you know, the fact is, but the image there, I think, is a good one, is that no matter how much David said, there's still more to be said. Film doesn't go Aleph to Taf. The message of Ashrei is Aleph to Taf. It includes everything. That says God controls everything. That's all we can say. But Film as a whole is not everything that we can say because we were never done.
Shir Chadash.
Okay, so have a great Sunday. Enjoy the sunny weather.
Shavuot Tov, everybody.
Shavuot Tov. Siyat Tov, Ruth.
Thank you. Steve and I get that.